My favorite time in the morning is morning. It's right before the sun rises. I open up my window and I howl at the horizon. No, I look at the east because my window faces east of my office. I open up the window and I let the fresh air come in. And there are trees that block the early sun so I can do some work on my computer. I just pray or I'm reading my scriptures. And I'm just waiting for the sun to come up. And there's just this calmness. Maybe you can hear them. Can you hear them right now? Is there sound? The doves were earlier. He missed those. But the doves cooing. Can you hear those? And then suddenly, they chipped our street this week. They're there early in the week. And they're driving their trucks up and down. I'm trying to have a quiet time. I wanted to yell at them. I'm having a quiet time. But that would have spoiled the quiet time. I noticed that at our praise in the park, Rebecca had the same problem. Everybody else is giving their praise and testimony, and it's fine. As soon as she gets up, an airplane goes overhead. In the middle of her testimony, a train goes by. And I'm going, I know what that's like. Because it's so noisy. And you wonder, boy, this is no longer a beautiful sunrise. Is it there yet? Okay, I have to wait. There it is. It's a cesspool beach, man. You know, it's just like, silence is broken. That sounds like a song. Anyway, actually, it's morning is broken. We know that. But it's just, you know, oh, and your quiet time's gone, and it's just, oh, it's just ruined. Right? Know the feeling? Have you gone fishing and had the same problem? Anybody see that video where the eagle comes out of the sky and grabs that whatever it was? Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah, you're out there, and it's a beautiful, quiet lake. There's not even a ripple on the lake. And your soul's being refreshed. Yeah. Here comes a motorboat. What are you doing? Get the oars out, man. Well, that's kind of how what happened in the early church. Everything was beautiful and quiet. It was pristine. The doves were cooing. The birds were chirping. And everything was great. I should have you all do bird chirps. Let's all do bird chirps. Huh?
I keep getting a bird about
you. I speak sparrow to you. And we have here the big idea, right? The big idea is our pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ is accompanied by both honest and deceitful hearts. And this is what is very discouraging to many of us because we want those quiet, peaceful mornings. We want the quiet church, the church that's quiet and there is no noise. There's not the thundering of little footprints across the... Yeah, the footsteps, not footprints. I know that. I used to tell people, I hear footprints. And nobody gets it. It's like, no, I hear footsteps, not footprints. But you get the idea, you know. And the early church was perfect. And it was just wonderful. And everybody was happy. Let's look at that perfect part, okay? Let's look at that perfect part in Acts chapter 4, if you haven't found that yet. The perfect church. It was beautiful. Am I getting pretty wishy on you? Acts chapter 4, I'm looking at verse 32 to start with. A really cool word. You ready for that first word? All. How many is that?
All.
That's like all. That's everybody. It was just so perfect. All the believers were in one heart and in mind. Because there is one faith, one hope, and one baptism, right? Okay. No one, not one person claimed any of his possessions was his own. He shared them. They shared everything they had. The mikasa, sukasa, everything was just great. Oh, it was just wonderful. With great power, the apostles continued the martea to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. Everyone, from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold one or two of them and brought the money from the sale and placed it at the apostles' feet. They placed it there because the apostles, the leadership, knew who really needed and who was a con artist. And they gave as they would. That's why they give it to the leadership of the church. And they said, and it was distributed as anyone had need. For example, verse 36 tells us, a Levite from Cyprus, Joseph, a good man. They nicknamed him. He was so good, they gave him a special nickname called Barnabas, or son of encouragement. You know him. Later we'll meet a little more of him as he partners with Paul. or Saul from Tarsus. Verse 37, he sold a field that he owned, not all his fields. This is not communism. This is not socialism. This is giving graciously. They sold one of the fields. He was a very wealthy man, but he gave. And he brought the money and placed it at the apostles' feet. Can you hear the quiet? Can you see the beauty of the wholeness of the church? It's healthy. It's happy. I very rarely use that word, you know. It's just great. Oh, everybody go, aw. Oh, it's just like that firework. Aw. It's just so beautiful. But then something shattered the peace. Something shattered the peace. How dare they shatter our peace? Ananias and Sapphira, who's named after a sapphire, she may have been beautiful, but she had a dark and ugly heart. The peace was shattered in chapter 5, verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property, just like Barnabas did. And on the outside, they looked like they were doing the same thing. With his wife's full knowledge, she was aware of what was going on. He kept part of the money back for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. They had promised, just like Barnabas did, I'm going to give you all the money we get from this sale. What do we call that today? What are those called, you know? What they're called politicians. Yeah, that was good. They're called faith promises. People would fill out a card and say, I give faith promises. I knew a gentleman in Denver. He says, when the Lord starts blessing me, I'll start fulfilling my faith promise. I think you got that backwards. You give in faith, and then the Lord blesses. You step out in faith, the river parts kind of deal. That's what they did. They said, oh, we'll be just like Barnabas, and we'll give all the money from our sale. They had plotted, though, not to give all the money. And I want to suggest to you the way the text is written, they got way more than they were expecting. Well, they were rolling in dough. Wow, that was a good deal. But they can't give it all because they need some of that. You know, God wants them to use it for something else, right? But they said they were going to give the whole product. That's what they were going to do. And notice what happens then. Peter, verse 3, goes to Ananias and says, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for land? Didn't it belong to you before you sold it? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied to men, but to God. Now you see the issue here. It's not that cults love this passage. See, you're supposed to sell everything and give it to the church. You know, everything. No, that's not the issue here. The issue is they promised to give more than they gave. Does that make sense? And notice here another just side note. Again, the Holy Spirit is a considered deity or deity. You lied to the Holy Spirit, verse 3. And then verse 4, you've not lied to men, but to everybody. I'm sorry, let's try it again. Everybody? God, yeah, they lied to God. So you're lying to the Holy Spirit, lying to God. That's the same guy. This is where we get triune Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people struggle with this today. They go, wow, what's the big deal? So what? He broke his faith promise. What's the big deal? If you've watched some TV shows like Lie to Me, they assume everybody lies. And you know what's sad? That includes Christians. Everybody lies. But notice what happens here. Aren't you glad they don't do church discipline like this anymore? Verse 5. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. This is where we get our phrase, what? Drop dead. There it is. He dropped dead. And a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Ooh, we better not lie. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried it away and buried him. They gave him some dignity. They didn't just throw him in an unmarked grave site. So you see here that in this day and age, church discipline was severe because the Lord wanted to preserve the pristineness of the early church. And he's not about to have the father of lies infect it. But Jesus told a parable. He said one day the man went out and sowed some seeds, but at night the enemy came, an evil one, and sowed some tares among the seeds. Then they said, shall we pull them up? No, let them grow up together until the end times. Then we will tell the difference between the two. Because you see, if you start pulling up the tares that are next to the good wheat, what starts to happen? You what? You pull the roots out, and you might pull some weed out. Those people with the gift of mercy, oh, they weren't that bad. They were really nice people. And the gift of mercy really gets in the way of church discipline sometimes, but it also helps because we want to discipline not too severely. So we do need the gift of mercy, okay? Don't worry about that. But the idea is that this is severe. Why is it severe? Keep a bookmarker here and turn to Proverbs chapter 6, and I'll tell you what the early church understood that American Christians do not understand. Proverbs chapter 6. Perhaps you know this passage, actually. I'm looking at verse 16. There are six things the Lord detests. Notice it's the holy name. Yahweh, bless his name. There are six things the Holy One, the Trinity, hates. You ready? Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongues, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, false witnesses who pour out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. How many times is lying mentioned there? Twice. Yeah, verse 17, a lying tongue. Verse 19, a false witness who pours out lies. Out of the seven things the Lord hates, he detests, two of the seven are lying. Jesus tells us that Satan is the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. Why join him? Now, tell me what color of a lie is not a lie? None of them. They're all lies. You know, it's not an oxymoron to say a white lie. It's still a lie. Now, the difference between lying and deception is really critical. Okay? Lying is an outright falsehood. Okay? Now, for some of you who don't know this, but I have a Seattle Mariners bat. Okay? And I got that from a friend who's in Washington. Is that where Seattle's at? Anyway, I'm joking. And he gave it to me, but it was old bat. They had the tape, but the handle was busted, so I got a real cool bat. Now, I could have told you, yeah, I played for the Seattle Mariners a little bit. Yep, that was one of the bats I used. Uh-huh. Or I could say, look what I got when I played. Yeah. What's that? Deception. That's deception. What was the first one?
A lie.
You see the difference? A lying is an outright falsehood, and deception is saying just enough truth. I did get it when I was playing. I was playing softball, and the guy gave it to me. But I wasn't playing baseball. Okay? And not for Seattle. That was good. So, you see the difference. You say just enough truth to mislead somebody. That's deception. And that's the idea of the second part there. False witness who pours out lies. Or you could look at a heart that deceives wicked schemes. You could do either one. And in the John 8 passage, John 8, 42 to 47 is the one where Jesus says that he's the father of lies. And friends, I have a hard time lying, and I'm grateful I do. I've got people who could lie to your face, and without the gift of their sermon, I wouldn't know they were lying. They're good. Their eyes don't get that certain look. They don't get the flush in their cheeks. They don't do the look up to the right instead of to the left. You know, all the markers you could try to figure out somebody's lying. The gift of the sermon's gone, they're lying! And there's days I want to go, you know, you just lied to me. I want to tell them that, but I don't. I'm a nice guy. I let the Lord judge them. Bummer. But this is why the early church was so with this situation, because they understood that Jesus Christ is the way, the and the life. Yeah, he's the truth. God cannot lie. It's against his nature. And no, we can't make a rock so big you can't pick it up. It's against his nature. It's just. And so we of all people should be what? Truthful. Yeah. And this is why the early church was just a wow. Let's go back to Acts chapter 5 again, and let's notice that the wife gets a chance to redeem herself. Sapphira, verse 7. She hadn't heard anything. She didn't talk to her husband like many wives don't. And husbands don't talk to their wives. Okay. Okay, verse 5. When Ananias, verse 7. And about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. She was out with the ladies bragging probably or whatever. Oh, look what a new necklace I got. Spending the money. And verse 8, Peter asked her. He gives her a chance here now to redeem. Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? You could see her wheels running. Uh-oh. No, of course it is. Sure. Yeah, that's the price. Then Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, or behold, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they are going to carry you away also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in. Boy, they had a busy early morning. And finding her dead, carried her out and buried her alongside her husband. And great fear, mega fear, seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. The word church, first time it appears, ecclesia, the called out ones. Here in the book of Acts. Jesus used it in Matthew 16. But what's interesting here is, and I want to encourage you, wives, you don't have to participate in your husband's sin. Isn't that cool? Or you can. Let's genericize it. Spouses don't have to participate in their spouse's sin. They can choose not to. They could choose to tell the truth. They could choose to tell the truth. And I find it interesting that we often blame instead of redeem. Instead of going, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. My husband had plotted this stuff. Yeah, at first I agreed with him, and I'll be honest with you, I agree with him. But, you know, after thinking about it, yeah, it's wrong. She could have said that. But she chose not to. What did she do instead? She continued the lie and the deception and shattered the peace and harmony of the early church. So again, if you want a perfect church, stop at chapter 5 of Acts and find how imperfect it was. And at chapter 6 and chapter 7. Anyway, so with me on all this? Understanding? First things he does? Cool. Okay. A little simple prayer that I teach a lot of people. You can put the whole armor on, or if you have a personal issue with telling the truth, this is a good prayer for you. But it's really simple. Lord Jesus Christ, I put you on as my belt of truth. The belt protects the vital parts of the vital organs. And some suggest a little lower than that as well. So some, you know, talk about that if you want to get a little intimate here. But the idea is transform me into a truth bearer, not a tale teller. If you don't like that, flip it. But this morning, that's how we're praying it. You could say a truth teller, not a tale belt bearer. I've had people say it both ways. It's whatever you feel comfortable with in your own private prayer. But as a group, we're going to pray this. Now, here's what's really cool that's going to happen. The next time you're tempted to lie, and yes, you're tempted, unless you're a chronic liar, in which case you can come to me and we'll get you delivered. But the idea is that you'll get a pause. You get a pause. And you may even say out loud, I shouldn't say that. And that's cool. That's a first step. And guess what? You may still lie. But at least you had the pause. You had the choice that Sapphira had. And then the next time you get a chance again. The Lord gives you all these chances to finally get it right. And maybe he'll give you the gib slap. Maybe he'll give you a 2x4 upside the head. Some of us need a 4x4 and some need a bulldozer. But whatever we need, he's going to give us chances to be people of truth, to wear that belt of truth. Okay, let's pray this together. Lord Jesus Christ, I put you on as my belt of truth. Transform me into a truth bearer, not a tale teller. Jesus, point number one, when we pursue the Lord Jesus Christ as a body, as a group together, we are to be honest in our dealings with each other and with the church leadership. And what's sad for me to share is I'm probably lied to the most. Okay? And what's sad is I probably know you're lying, but I let you get away with it. Aren't I nice? Very rarely have I called anybody on it. For example, yeah, I'll see you on Sunday. Okay, they're not here. Who are they? Not the person sitting here normally. Okay, but you get what I'm getting at? You know, I meet someone, hey, what church do you pastor? Oh, I pastor Valley Bible. Oh, where's that at? F and a half at 29 Road, F and a half. 29 half at F and a half. Oh, yeah, maybe I should come someday. Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. And the Spirit's going, no, he's not. Do you see? That's pretty typical for me. I don't know if you guys get the same thing. Or the check's in the mail. You have that one? Or mom's not home, tell mom's not home. You know all those, okay? Yeah, we need to be truthful with each other, and it starts in the home. It starts in the home. And just for fun, let's look at Ephesians chapter, let's go to Colossians chapter 3 first, then Ephesians. Colossians chapter 3. Now, and again, this is part of my reckoning these last couple months, maybe 5 or 6 months now, where the Lord reminded me that this is written to the early church. He's writing to Christians. He's not writing to non-Christians. He's writing to Christians. And he's telling them in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, the sinful nature. That includes sexual immorality, impurity, lusts, evil desires, and greed. Those are all coupled together, which is idolatry. Verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. You were once a non-Christian in the life you once lived. But now that you're a Christian, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Verse 9, you ready? The Greek says, stop lying to each other. You may have, do not lie to each other. The Greek says, stop it. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. You're different. You're changing. You should be different. And the first place is your tongue. We shouldn't be liars. Go back to Ephesians. And that's to the church. Another book, Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25. This is more of a closed picture. Verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. The idea is, Lord Jesus Christ, I take off this dirty garment of lying, and I put on you, Lord Jesus Christ, as my belt of truth. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. And then drop back to verse 15. How do you speak the truth? Exactly. Verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love. Let me read the context. 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by every wave and blown here, thither, and yon by every wind and teaching of cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all grow up together into him who is the head, that is Messiah. Speak the truth in love. Now, people should not put other people in awkward situations. I did this joking to my wife the other day. I put on a certain shirt, or I thought it was a shirt or a pair of pants. I said, does this make me look fat? Of course, I'm joking, but I was half serious because I gained a little weight. But the point is, though, that why do people put people in situations like that? Does this haircut make me look thinner? What? Do you want the truth? And how do I speak it in love? Right? So sometimes people do that. And I would tell people in my younger days, I would tell people, if you don't want the truth, don't ask. Don't ask me, because I won't give you the truth. Now, back then, that was the raw truth, nothing but the truth. There was no love. I gave them raw. You know, both parts of the serrated blade, you know, and twist slightly. You know. So we're going to speak to each other in love. So the next time somebody asks you how you're doing, you don't give them an organ recital. But you say, you know, I appreciate you asking. I just still need prayer, but thanks for asking. Oh, what's wrong? We don't have time right now. I'd like to tell you everything. It takes about 2.5 hours. But you get what I'm saying? Just get to the point, and you don't have to lie. And sometimes I like what the Africans say. I'm here. Someone just did that to me the other day. I forgot who it was. Somebody here maybe? Anybody? Yeah. So how you doing? I'm here. Cool. And you can sense in the spirit sometimes this person doesn't want you to pursue it. And maybe when you got a quiet moment off to the side, then you can ask them, hey, how you doing? I noticed your eyes look really, we need to talk. I'm here to listen. Okay? So, but that helps us then. And again, yeah, maybe you're not lying to say you're fine. Maybe you are fine. And your pain's killing you, but you're fine. You know, and that's okay too. You see what I'm saying? All right, so we've got to just stop the lying, basically, as they tell us that. Jesus point number two. In our pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be discouraged by those who are dishonest. Don't let them discourage you. Instead, hang around those who are honest and forthright. Like Jiminy Cricket, you said?
Yeah.
Very good. That was good. I like that. Sometimes we need to isolate those who are deceiving. That's a heavy one, isn't it? That's heavy. Because they've just got to stop it. And maybe they have a demonic issue that need deliverance. And I can help with that. I helped a lot of people over the years. Simple prayers, simple confession, but you got to own it. Some people like deceiving. They like the game, don't they? I pulled another one on them. But I find it fascinating when someone continues this trail of lies, guess what starts to happen? Their nose grows. No, it catches up with them. It starts to unravel because they're not, I'm going to be real crude, so I won't say that, Lord, thank you. They can't remember all their lies. And so suddenly they're starting colliding with each other. And you go, wait, I thought you said that. And then I stop sometimes. I don't even say anything. There's just a bunch of, it's really fun to hear people's stories. And I've worked with a lot of people who tell me stories. And sometimes they tell more of a story the second time than the first time. Is that lying? No, that's not lying. They just told you more of the story, particularly if it's congruent. Now, if the story starts changing, I won't name the person, but one day there was an accident in front of my house, and one of my family members started telling everybody it was a 3-car accident in front of my house. By the end of the day, it was a 10-car accident.
Whoa, on your little street.
Yeah. I inherited some of this exaggeration ability. So the idea is we got to make this more dramatic. This person was addicted to soap opera, so I said, you're making life a soap opera. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Because it's got to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be dramatic. Because the truth is the truth. Now, years later, there was a cop chasing another car in our neighborhood. And as you know, my dad was a retired police officer back then. And the car went down the street, whipped around, and started headed back toward the police officer. Smashed into the police officer and went down the street away from them. In the meantime, the guy's trying to get out. He's like Barney Fife, trying to get out of his vehicle, trying to find his weapon. And then the car had already sped away, and he fires at it. Ooh. We later found he was already on probation. He violated at least two principles of weapon discharging. One is there's no immediate danger, because where's the vehicle? It's now past him. However, if it was coming toward him, he could fire. Okay? Because he's in imminent danger. But he went this way. And the second one is check your field of fire. Always check your field of fire. And there were houses right there. He was blessed that no one got hurt. It was just amazing. So, again, I told you the truth. That's what happened. I could tell you more, but you don't need to know more. So next time I tell you the story and I say, oh, my dad came running out and he was shaking with his gun in his hand, get back in the house. You know. Now, that's also true, but I only told you part of it. Oh, you're lying. You didn't tell the story the same way. No, I added more to it. I could tell you some really whoppers. You ready? No. Okay. Okay, but you get what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians 15:33 is evil communication corrupts, right? Is that what it says? 1 Corinthians 15:33. First one that gets the stand and tell me what it says. Oh, you got me, Eunice. You beat me by a... there, okay. Nice and loud. See, real simple. Don't be deceived yourself. Don't be deluded. Bad company corrupts good character, good morals. So don't hang with them. When you start to isolate them, even if it's a family member, this is where it gets hard. You may have to talk to them and say, you know, I really struggle with this. Your exaggerations turn into lying. You know? What's the word?
Evil competition.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That sounds a good one. And again, 2 Timothy is a real good one. Let's jump all the way back to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 16. I'll start in 15. I like all these verses. They're all good. 15. Do your best to show yourself approved of God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ha ha. I wasn't reading the NIV there. I was quoting. Okay, but you get it, right? You see the context? Show yourself approved. Study. Teach the truth. The word of truth. Verse 16, avoid godless chatter. Because those who indulge in it become more and more ungodly. And a lot of times deceivers and liars are godless chatter. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Ugh, gross. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. Because they're liars. They say that the resurrection has already taken place and they have destroyed the faith of some. Nevertheless, praise God, God's solid foundation stands firm and sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must what? Turn away from iniquity, right? Turn away from wickedness. So don't hang with them. Hang with people who are truth bearers. Now I'm talking about your friends, okay? I'm not talking about witnessing. I'm not talking about at work. But there are times family members need to be confronted because they are exaggerators. And I had to confront this person several times. In my own self, a couple times. Okay? Because it was hereditary. Okay? That was kind of what it was. All right. In your pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus point number three, continue being generous with your things. Back in Acts chapter 4 there, the word was koinonia. It was the word fellowship, but he was talking about giving. Giving monetary things. This is important. Just recently somebody called and asked, could they borrow the church's lawnmower? Go for it. Yeah, that's what it's for. We had to borrow Amy's truck for something recently. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Me truck, Sue truck. Yeah, me Dodge, your Sue Dodge, you know. Oh, Toyota. Me Toyota, Sue Toyota. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. And what's really cool is you guys are doing it. You guys are doing it. You're giving and giving and giving, and you're sharing. You're opening your homes up literally. You're sharing what little food you have. And I am so blessed to be a part of a family that we call Valley Bible Church who gives unselfishly or selflessly and unabridedly, liberally. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians and stay there because I want to bless you guys after this. Remember the T's, the tea house, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. They call that the tea house. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, real cool blessing here. I want to pick up the context, verses 3 and 4, but I'm going to read, start in verse 2. And this is, I can say this to you guys. We always thank God for all of you. I always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in my prayers. I continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is so beautiful about our body of Christ here is that you guys are living this. You are living this. You are truth bearers, not tale tellers. I'm going to read you a blessing in 1 Thessalonians. Was I reading 2 Thessalonians?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. That's a real good one, too. 2 Thessalonians. I thought that looked funny. All right. We always ought always to thank God for you, brothers, rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast. I boast about you guys, about your perseverance and your faith and all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. And when I'm meeting with pastors or I'm talking to other people, I boast about you guys. Unlike some pastors who like, and many of us don't, which is really cool. A lot of us pastors do not roast our parishioners, if you will. And I guess I could be roasted. I'm pretty tasty, I guess. But the idea is we don't. We bless you guys. We bless our body of Christ. We bless each other. And I want to bless you this morning from 1 Corinthians. So if you'll stand, I'm going to be 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to be reading a prayer from there, verses 11 through 13. If you want to get real warm and fuzzy, you can hold each other's hands. We won't do that this morning. Okay? So receive this blessing. 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. And even those in the utter darkness can receive the blessing too? No. All right, my blessing to you. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to be coming to you. May the Lord make your faith increase, your love increase, and overflow with each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy saints. Heavenly Father, I pray that these, my beloved here, receive this blessing from your very mouth to their ears, to their heart, to their souls. I pray that it will encourage them this morning to continue to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, for you are working in them to will and to do your good pleasure. You, Father, are instilling in them a hope and an assurance, a confident faith, that they are your children and that they are blessing the many with the few and little they have. You have taken their few loaves and their small fishes and you have multiplied them, Father. Continue to multiply your goodness. And may Jesus Christ be praised in this place. To him be glory and honor and power both now and forever. And God's people join me in saying, amen. Thank you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.